Welcome to The Download here on WGN Radio, WGNRadio.com. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, Wicker Park has always been known as a hotbed for nightlife and entertainment, but it surprises me to know that the building that houses the famed Chopin Theater is turning 100 years old. Amazing to think that the wonderful theater has seen so many generations of Chicago artists and audiences. And that's not lost on the current owners. Zygmunt and Lila Dierkach are here in studio with me now. They've owned the building since 1990, and they've been part of not only the revitalization of the building, but the neighborhood. They've got a couple events coming up, including a book release party, which we'll talk about, and they're with me on The Download. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
So I love the Chopin Theater. I've as I told you guys when we started here, I've performed there, and I've seen a number of shows. I would not think that building was 100 years old, and I think that that's a testament to understanding our history. When did you, when you bought the building in 1990, were you aware?
By the way, you have a long hair when you...
That's right, I have a long hair. When you bought the building in 1990, were you aware of its history?
I was a little bit aware, and actually when we bought this in 1990, we put the name of at the Gallery Theater. There was a couple reasons. I wasn't sure about history because it was, you know, a building without any documentation. It was vacant for demolition. And I didn't want it to be like a Polish theater. I wanted to have American theater right. with Polish accents. You can hear my accent, yeah. And for everybody. I was interested in the theater kind of place when I feel
inclusive.
Happy. And and we did quite a few great shows, including Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas with Cusack and Piven and other things. Right. So it was like, you know. And then after 2 years, I was thinking like, well, maybe people don't know who is Chopin. And some people play Shopping Theater or Chop-In Theater or something. Right. But why not, you know? And I changed my mind, and I'm very happy about this. And it's Chopin since 1992.
Well, that's smart. I mean, that's how we. I mean, a lot of the off-loop theater and audiences and performers alike know it. But it's been a theater. It's been other things throughout its time. But talk about what you know about its history for it to be 100 years old. Take us through that. Take us through what you've learned since you've purchased the building.
Well, it was built in 1918, and it's had a couple of uses. I think the most documentation is around its use as a Nickelodeon. And on that stretch of a couple of miles within Wicker Park, where we're located, there were upwards of 30 Nickelodeons in the area. So it was really the place for cinema, and there were a lot of actors and kind of a mini Hollywood, if you will. And I think it, after being a Nickelodeon, it was vacant for a number of years, but within the times it was open, there was a discotheque. Mm-hmm. I think it was a restaurant of some sorts.
It was a bank.
It was a bank.
It was a bank.
1950.
Beautiful insignia in the, anyone who's been to our place knows that there are a lot of really great decorations, but there's a very large rug in the center of the building, and if you lift that up, you'll see the
Federal Savings and Bond. And then the banks move across the street. What this funny thing is that there was this Broadway thing, you know, 30 Nickelodeon theaters, you know, the founders of some major Hollywood studios were there, you know, like Paramount Pictures. And then now we have modern thing. There was one point there was 7 banks across the,
right.
the yeah. theater. Yeah.
I always, you know, in that area, Division and Ashland and Milwaukee, where mm-hmm. it comes together there, has always, I give it the distinction of Wicker Park because I guess technically that is Wicker
Gate,
Park.
Yeah.
Yes, the southern end, yeah.
Yeah, the southern end. But, you know, a lot of the nightlife and what we know to be Wicker Park or what happened from 1990, 1995 mm-hmm. on is a little bit north of Milwaukee,
yeah,
North Avenue, north of Milwaukee. But the Chopin has always been a part of what I believe to be, something that was missing in Wicker Park, which was the theatrical experience. There's always been bars, there's always been nightlife, maybe clubs, but the theater, to be a staple of the off-loop theater community there, what does that mean to you guys?
Well, I fell in love with Wicker Park because I before that I lived on Lakeshore Drive in a very, very nice building, but the life was pretty sterile and corporate. and just go over there between those different cultures on that time. It was bizarre. It was exciting. You know, there were places when there was still some exotic animals, or there was poetry clubs, or there were on the Milwaukee Damon, you go underground, and there was this newspaper, I think, when they were selling stuff. There was a lot of activists. People did stuff which right now unthinkable, you know, to do. Like in our theater, you could put the chairs in front of the theater and 50 people were watching something on the steps of the theater. Right now, we need pyramids and all this stuff.
It's changed,
so
right?
People are doing those things, a lot of musicians, etc. And obviously, around the Coyote, when that started, you know, certain point, there were 680 galleries and places of art on weekends. So, and people were fearless, you know, they were just doing stuff.
And that was the, and I remember this because I was involved in that, in the mid to late 90s, mm-hmm. Around the Coyote represented what people in Chicago thought of Bucktown and Wicker Park, an artistic haven, like you said, fearless. Mm-hmm. You could go there and it was an art festival and there were performances and galleries that were open to people, but it almost branded the neighborhood as a place to be. That's not there anymore. It's long gone. But that is something that you would like to see come back.
Of course, we'd like to stay, but it would be difficult because now we have building, 20-story apartments, half a million, million, $1.2 million. So certain things may not come back. But the good thing is that we have more people in the area, you know,
yeah, right.
So more potential people. So, you know, it's kind of strange. When I bought the building, you know, there was this idea on improve because you couldn't get artists for your show because they were afraid, where is this, and dirt and crime and all this stuff. And then on the other hand, you have a very nice Polish neighborhood that is sterile, and artists left, and now people with money come to see. But my position was always that if we have great venues to show artists, mm-hmm. it's much better than have gentrification, because you can live any place you choose, but for artists the more important thing is to have venues. And if you have those, you know, independent venues, that's what makes artists happy, because they can show and
right.
try. And that's why for our anniversary on Monday we start 2 hours with some debates between artists who come from San Francisco, Dallas, you know, from Bob Shop, which was on Division Jazz, great.
Absolutely, yeah.
There are people who come in from Guild Complex. They did poetry twice a week. You have Latino Theater, which was on the corner of Milwaukee and Damon.
Right.
Eddie Torres. We have Eddie Burke, who started.
Elizabeth Burke, yeah.
We will talk about this, how make those people don't leave Chicago, okay? But the great thing which happened is that, and it's very positive to Chicago, that Chicago is expanding. That used to be that nobody was coming to Wicker Park. And so now I think there is this renaissance of the city, which is very different than what I saw in Poland in those movies, Dead Wish and other, you know,
right. Well, Lila, let me ask. I mean, because it plays both roles. I mean, gentrification, of course, changes the fabric of the neighborhood. But as Sigmund just said, there are more people in Wicker Park and Division. Do you feel any sort of stress to be a certain way when communities change? Meaning, do you feel we have to give the authentic of what it used to be like? Or on the other end, well, we better give the people what they want and let's change and put, you know, mainstream theater on stage.
Well, I think it's difficult. You do have to strike that balance. I don't know if you call it art if no one comes to see it, so that's always a challenge. But I think we fall into a good pocket. We do theater. We also do special events, one-time-only sort of events, one-day-only events that allow different groups of people to get together. There are concerts. There are literary readings. There are salon discussions. So I think there's enough diversity and variety in what we offer that we're appealing to the hardcore traditional theater folks,
mm-hmm.
and then people that are maybe new to the art scene and looking for something particular.
There used to be, and you mentioned a little bit earlier, mm-hmm. A little bit more freedom when it came to running theaters, live theaters in Chicago. That has changed, and some events made that happen, but there is now a different kind of sheriff in town when it comes to permits and, and Department of Revenue and everything that goes into what it means to be a live theater in Chicago.
It's not a theater, it's politics. You cannot put the posters, $500. You cannot put flyers in the cars. You know, in our times, you could do stuff. You could smoke on the stage and nobody, you know. It was legal, you know.
Right. It's changed.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right. It's not just what just about the permits. It's about you can't put a flyer on a telephone pole. You can't put a flyer on a car. All the little things that made Chicago theater what it was and this fearless environment that are being taken away.
The symbolic thing was when there was some newspaper stand in front of Cultural Center. And Daily decided to take it out. And it's not about Daily. It's about how the city changed. The issue started to be, you know, started with terrorism, more surveillance and more other things. So you have those choices. Or we take it down and we make city more safe, okay? Or we make more free loading.
Well, is it become harder for you and your vision to create at the Chopin to be this community center, to be something that honors its past when it becomes more and more difficult to do this job, meaning it's not what it was. It wasn't just sort of like, open the doors, let's have some fun, let's build a set. It's a lot more difficult to do this kind of work.
So maybe you tell about the difference between a poetry slam. We have poetry slam, we're on 60 Minutes, 10 years ago, and right now. How different?
Yeah, it is different, but I think there's also some adaptability that you have to do, though. I mean, we've been around 28 years, and so we still try to be relevant, and we do have to adapt in our programming. And society is also changing. If we did the slam back in, 1998, and I think the fervor was a little bit different than what you have today.
It was more of a poetry, and right now was almost totally about politics.
Yeah, it was very biting
so,
the mindset.
It's so interesting, yeah. And, you know, I remember I did a show for Around the Coyote, and I think it was 98, 99, and we did it in the basement. Mm-hmm. And I remember the joke, it was a comedy show, and I remember the joke, the big joke we were making or poking fun at or at least playing around with was the protest for The Real World on North Avenue. Mm-hmm. And if you remember, the MTV show The Real World had now that's a cheetah gym, whatever it was, but there was a moment in that neighborhood where there people were on the streets protesting. They didn't want MTV. They didn't want this to become a homogenized culture.
Sure.
But it's interesting to think that that's what was happening in 1998 in Chicago and where we're at 20 mm-hmm. years later.
But I would think, though, that those moments in time are kind of constant. I mean, you had the 60s and you had young people rebelling against their parents and in fashion mostly.
Yeah, but you do have conflict. You have the conflict this that we have electronic media right now. And this is what it's attacked. The newspapers attacked. It changed the life completely. Okay.
Yeah.
So first one, you have order because you have some critics and those five people in the city, in the theater, they have the opinion. Now there's many
now
people
on
everything.
Everybody's
of that.
A critic, right?
So there was certain hierarchy, certain discipline. Now there's a much more chaotic, much more unsafe, I would say, in the sense, but it's much more free. And I'm afraid that those days will not come back. People, of course, they want to have that kind of freedom, so they move to small cities, I don't know, to Montana or Idaho, create some little festival, and then 100,000 people come in 3 years.
Yeah, right.
Or the Burning Man or something
that.
Sure. And then everybody comes and becomes tourist traps.
Yeah. It's so fun to have this conversation, to talk about Wicker Park and to talk about gentrification, because the ultimate is that even the artists and what happened when I'm talking about in the mid to late 90s, that was gentrification in the sense that it was a Polish neighborhood. It was a Latino neighborhood. And those it almost feels like whatever generation wants to talk about it, they can talk about it in their sort of, you know, their terms.
Right.
Yeah. But you know, life is an ebb and flow and things change and neighborhoods change. And I guess
it's
awesome.
And you know, in Wicker Park, the changes are probably the most profound you can see in Chicago, because first was 100% Polish and they were like 19... 100 years ago, Poland got their independence, okay? Sure. So that was a big thing. And after Poland got their independence, some Poles moved back to Poland, some people moved to their neighborhoods, some got wealthy, moved to suburbs, etc.
Yeah, right.
And that was a crisis with American cities, so there was another very distinctive period. Mm-hmm. And then we artists moved in and we created this hip culture, and then rich people moved and created lavish apartments and bars and restaurants. So just in 100 years, such four profound changes, I think is one day someone will write this story about those, how the city can change so much.
That's great.
I just wonder. You write that story. We'll talk about all that on Monday.
I was going to say on Monday, and then you also have the book, which is coming out in November, mm-hmm. and this is mostly photos of the building. It is a tremendous story to think about because as much as you guys have been able to be a staple and a constant in Wicker Park, the building is even older in 100 years. It is as much a story about Chicago theater as it is about Chicago history.
Or Chicago City, in that sense. Because like I said, we can talk about our theater, but you can go on the internet and see, like, let's say, we had 2,000 different shows. So there's like at least 1,000 reviews, and they're great. But our passion is also traveling, camping, and going to see the places. And we see that, there was this book, Silent Spring, about environment disappearing. We see that profound changes when we camp and we go to British Columbia 5 times. We see those places were unique, beautiful, small, when it was 5 car and now it's 5,000 cars. Man. And we see that. And for me personally, that's why I talk about this. People ask me to talk about Chopin Theater. But for me, Chopin Theater is just a symbol of how the amount of people who've got more money, making those beautiful places, and they changed them forever. I took my kids to Niagara Falls. They look on the river. They said, that's it. But there was thousands of people, and hotels and casinos and all these things happened. And I would gladly pay $50, take those hotels out, and walk through the forest for 15 minutes and see Niagara Falls.
Right. Well, the next time you're in Wicker Park, if you're at whether it be a street festival or going down for nightlife and entertainment to the hottest new places, among the skyscrapers and the big buildings, make a point to check out the Chopin Theater.
I cannot, just on the end, I would like to say that if you feel that we are complaining about anything, it's not saying that things are bad. It's just saying that our inspiration that we be at least like Vienna or Paris or Barcelona, And Wicker Park still is definitely number one place to go just to walk on division. It's just to walk between this.
It may not be the same division that was Studs Terkel's division street back in the day. But
that's okay.
And that's okay.
We can talk about all of that on Monday.
There you go.
November, October 29th, we'll take a look at the one.
And we have free food, and we have two bands. We have a Brazilian band. We have another.
Environmental encroachment, a 16-piece band.
And it's free for artists, for everybody who is associated anyway with Chopin Theater. We would love to see you again.
That's great. The Chopin Theater building turns 100 this year. Lila and Zygmunt in studio. Thank you so much for being my guests
in
the download.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.